If you reach into your bulletins, there's a white sheet in the center there that says Truth Stands. That's the sermon notes for today. You're going to need that as we go along. If you would take that out. And I'm actually going to start with, I know there folks back there probably wondering what I'm doing here because I went to the title of the message, but I'm actually going to go back just a little bit to another slide. Don't go back there quite yet, but I wanted to share with you. We've been praying about, you know, direction for the church, and the church leaders have been working so hard, praying, seeking the Lord. And one aspect of looking at where the church is headed is looking at what are important values. Now, the way I'm going to put it up here is not probably the final version of it. You know, there may be some more refining, but I do want to at least have you understand what are some of the values that shape who we are as a church. So, just something that you can be praying about. And again, these are kind of my way of putting it together, but the words underlined pretty much are the words that are key words that are to symbolize who we are and where we're going. Christ-centered worship at the center of all that we are and do. Sharing Christ's hope and justice near and far. Creating faithful disciples or learners, someone who is joyfully and obediently following the Lord. That's what a disciple is, like a learner, a student of the Lord. So creating faithful disciples who can in turn help to create other faithful disciples. Joyful, committed community or fellowship, where we really are authentic with one another. We're able to share with each other our lives. You know, we don't just put on a face on Sunday morning, but we really are able to love each other deeply through hurts, through triumphs, to be able to be a community, a real Christ-centered community. And then finally, serving God and humanity in love. Serving God and humanity in love. Those are the things that are going to be symbolic of who we are and what we do. Worship, sharing, disciples, community, and serving. So you'll hear more about that as time goes on. That, you know, part of us preparing the website and working on the website has been causing us to really think about how do we express who we are in a way that honors God and helps others to understand who we are. For me, this next picture is taken from my desk. It's right above where my computer sits. And my little Scrabble tiles, I spell out things just to kind of remember. But this has been on my desk for a long time now, probably not too long after I started. And I wrote these words, speak truth in love. That is part of what I believe my calling is as your pastor and as a faithful disciple of Christ, to speak God's truth in love to whoever and wherever God may call us to do that. And a phrase I want to use to wrap up this entire message, this whole message I'm going to share this morning, is this phrase. And it's in your notes kind of toward the end. And the memory phrase is this: stand for truth or fall for everything. Stand for truth or fall for everything. So we live for an audience of one, and we need to stand for truth. Now that title slide, Truth Stands, that, as you see on the cover of your bulletins, is actually a depiction of the main story we're going to focus on today, the death of John the Baptist at the hands of King Herod. And that is a sculpture done by the famous sculptor Rodin. You know, he put that together. I'm not sure exactly where it's kept, but it really depicts kind of the finality of what happened when Herod took unjustly John the Baptist's life. And if we think about what truth is like working alongside a master, an artist. Imagine us working alongside Rodin, who has the ability to bring forth from a piece of marble or stone the truth of what was in that stone, to be able to bring it forth. And if we think about truth as being in the hands of the master, God, he somehow lets us work alongside him, that somehow he is able to impart to us some of his skill, his artistry, his craftsmanship, as we work in this world to express his truth, his beauty, in a way that compels others to come to know him, to come to know him as Savior and Lord. So let's dive into this passage. It's there in your notes, and it's also going to be up on your screens. And let me just read through it. I'm not going to explain too much because it's pretty self-explanatory. But it's in a version called The Message. It's very, very kind of earthy, not as quote, accurate as some of the other translations, but I think it brings forth the emotion behind the passage. Okay? From Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. King Herod heard of all this, for by this time the name of Jesus was on everyone's lips. He said, "This has to be John the Baptizer, come back from the dead. That's why he's able to work miracles." Others said, "No, it's Elijah." Others said, "He's a prophet, just like one of the old-time prophets." But Herod wouldn't budge. "It's John, sure enough. I cut off his head, and now he's back, alive." You know, some of his guilt is coming back. So he's talking about Jesus, thinking Jesus is the incarnation somehow of John the Baptist. Herod was the one who had ordered the arrest of John, put him in chains, and sent him to prison at the nagging of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had provoked Herod by naming his relationship with Herodias adultery. Herodias, smoldering with hate, wanted to kill him, but didn't dare, because Herod was in awe of John. Convinced that he was a holy man, he gave him special treatment. Whenever he listened to him, he was miserable with guilt, and yet Herod couldn't stay away. Something in John kept pulling him back. But a portentous day arrived when Herod threw a birthday party, inviting all the brass and blue bloods in Galilee. Herodias' daughter entered the banquet hall and danced for the guests. She dazzled Herod and the guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me anything. I'll give you anything you want." Carried away, he kept on. "I swear, I'll split my kingdom with you if you say so." She went back to her mother and said, "What should I ask for?" "Ask for the head of John the Baptizer," her mother said. Excited, she ran back to the king and said, "I want the head of John the Baptizer served up on a platter, and I want it now." That sobered the king up fast, but unwilling to lose face with his guests, he caved in and let her have her wish. The king sent the executioner off to the prison with orders to bring back John's head. He went, cut off John's head, brought it back on a platter, and presented it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got the body and gave it a decent burial. So just hold it on that slide. Don't go to the next slide yet. But I have a couple of items I have in the bulletin I just want to point out to you, just the historical truth and the timeless truth from this passage. The historical truth is this: John the Baptist is unjustly killed for holding to God's truth. He stands for God's truth. He doesn't shrink back. He doesn't say what will get him out of jail that compromises the truth. And for it, he is ultimately killed. But the timeless truth, the truth that carries over into our day, is this: evil always awaits its opportunity, but God's truth cannot be quenched. Evil always awaits its opportunity, but God's truth cannot be quenched. This last week, we saw the news about the church in South Carolina. And despite evil seeming to take over that day, if you've been watching the news report, God's truth is still winding its way through that community. And even inside that church, God's truth that he is alive, that he's not dead, that he's alive in the members of the church who are worshiping right now, probably where they are, praying, and even though they are mourning the death of their peers and their leaders, they are still able to forgive and love and pray and thank the Lord. Not because they're blind, but because God's truth dwells in them. So God's truth cannot be quenched. But the applied truth is this. In the next slide, what I said earlier: stand for truth or fall for everything. The way I think about it today, as we celebrate Father's Day, especially for everyone, but particularly I say this to the men, not just fathers, to the men here, stand for truth or fall for everything. We have the ability and the calling to serve, to love, to lead in Christ-like ways. So the simple do's and don'ts here, I hope you don't mind, I boiled them down to something very simple. When we compare the two men in this story, John the Baptist and King Herod, John the Baptist kept speaking and living truth. And King Herod succumbed to lust for power, for reputation, probably even for physical lust. He fell prey to temporary things rather than eternal things. So the admonition for us today as men, I say to you, there's a world around us that would try to woo us away from the eternal Father, the one who loves us, who wants us to act in a way that honors him. Don't listen to those other voices. Listen to the Lord. Now, one of those things that is really important to me is being able to have a group of men, for me in particular, wherever I've gone, is to be with a group of other men who I can be encouraging to and be encouraged by. And I've got a few men I meet with, you know, occasionally here, but I really think one of the needs in this next season of our church is to deepen the men's ministry. And probably for some of you, I know you're thinking about starting some women's events too. There's some family ministries of various things. But in particular, I feel a calling to be able to work hard at bringing some men together. In your sheets, in your sermon notes, are some questions. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to list them. The next three slides list the 21 questions by John Wesley, who was a famous pastor and evangelist in his time. And he used these questions, I think they've been adapted a little bit, but to really bring about community and accountability. I was reading a story, though. Remember, some of you who have been Christians for a while, you remember hearing the story about what's called Promise Keepers, those big rallies where, you know, big-time speakers would come and they'd encourage men, you go out, get accountability. Those accountability groups, some of them did okay, but a lot of them failed because they would ask these questions with the wrong spirit. They would bring together people who didn't really know each other and all of a sudden say, okay, tell us your deepest, darkest secrets. And, you know, if you're like me, you don't want to reveal that you don't have it all together. Men, we really like to think, okay, I've got it together. I don't want anybody to know my weaknesses. But really, the greatest weakness is not being known by someone else. But the problem with just asking these questions is we can become very legalistic. We can become very, like the Pharisees who ultimately killed Jesus. They were all about following the rules and being perfect on their own strength. We cannot live life that pleases God on our own strength. We need one another. We need committed, loving, deep relationships with one another. Now, I may be in a group of a few people, but I'm going to admonish you and encourage you, even though we may gather together as some men's groups and some other gatherings, but really to start finding other friends who love the Lord, who are willing to be a friend and It's just someone who can be a shepherd to you and you can be a shepherd to them. You can be with them, love them, get to know them, trust them, build a relationship. Because isolation results in an easy prey for Satan. That's why so many families become cold and lifeless. That's why so many men's relationships with God start to become just about the rules or how tired am I this day. But being with one another in deep fellowship is so important. I have an opportunity during the week sometimes. My friend Luis, who's part of our church, part of our leadership of our church, he's been doing some volunteer